All right, thank you, Team Classic Crew. How about that, huh? How about that, Evan? And that's something, well, Dad, just be quiet a little bit, okay? All right, we'll let everybody else brag on it. That was great, wasn't it, huh? Yeah, it was good. Thank you, Michael. That was good. I appreciate that. Take your Bibles. All right, going back to Bus Church with Mrs. Reese. Take your Bibles, if you would please, and go with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, if you would please. The Gospel of John in John chapter 15. If you need a Bible, we've got Bibles for you to use. We want you to be able to follow along. So go with us to John chapter 15, page 1137. Need some Bibles up here, if you would please, guys. Up here in the front, on the front row, need a couple of Bibles. John chapter 15, page 1137. Gospel of John in John chapter 15. I'm thankful that somebody cared for me, and I trust that you're thankful for the person that brought Christ to you. What a wonderful thing it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, know your sins forgiven, and heaven's your home. And we wouldn't know that unless somebody was willing to take the message of Christ and bring it to us. And thank the Lord for those people who have done that, whether it's been parents, whether it's been Sunday school teachers, whether it's been pastors, whether it's just been individual Christians who have cared about your soul. Thank the Lord for the person that brought you salvation. John chapter 15 in your Bibles, if you would please. We continue this morning our study in John's Gospel. And this morning we're going to see Jesus warning his disciples about some upcoming hatred that they would experience from the world. And I've titled the message this morning, Hated or Liked? What's it going to be? Hated or liked? What's it going to be? If you've got your Bibles open, let's stand together as we begin in verse 18. John chapter 15 and verse 18. Notice what the Bible says. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they've persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they've kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Verse 23, Jesus says, He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we ask, Lord, for your help in the time of the preaching of the Word of God. Father, we thank you for the other things that have transpired in this service. We thank you, Lord, for the singing. We thank you for the great hymns that we've sung, great truths that are there. Thank you for being reminded of Jesus coming back. We thank you for the special music this morning. Lord, somebody cared enough to bring the truth to me. Lord, I pray that it would burden our hearts to be those people that are carrying the truth to others. Use us as your lights in this world full of darkness, Lord, to bring others to Christ before it's too late. We thank you, Lord, for the prayers that have gone up and the prayers that have been mentioned, for the fellowship among your people here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for all the aspects of this service. But now, Lord, we know that we come to the very most important aspect of it, and that is the proclamation of your word. I pray, Lord, that we would be attentive to the words of the scriptures this morning, and that we would allow the word of God to speak to our hearts. Father, help us to not be those people that have to be liked by the world, but help us, Lord, to be people who are friends of the Lord Jesus Christ and willing to experience the hatred, if need be, for our faithfulness to Christ. Lord, speak to our hearts here this morning. We need your help in the service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. No one likes to be hated. And we all like to be liked. Wouldn't you agree with that? Yeah, we don't like to be hated. And we all like to be liked. However, the truth of the matter is, if we're going to be followers of Jesus Christ, like we ought to be following the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not going to be liked by the world. That's what Jesus is saying in this passage of Scripture. Just face it, we as believers cannot live in a world where the spirit of Antichrist prevails. And that's the world that we live in today. The prevailing spirit in this world is not the Spirit of Christ. It is not the Holy Spirit. The prevailing spirit in this world today is the spirit of Antichrist. And we who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ cannot expect to live in a world filled with the spirit of Antichrist and not experience some hatred from the world. And so Jesus is warning his disciples about the hatred that they would encounter. I think he's telling them this up front so that when they began to experience, they wouldn't get discouraged and just give up and quit. Sometimes when we get a ill response from the world that we're trying to reach for Christ, it discourages our hearts, and sometimes we just want to throw up the white flag and surrender and say, well, I quit. If you don't care about your spiritual condition, why should I care? Well, we should care because Jesus cares. Amen? And we should be willing to endure some hatred from the world. Now we begin our passage here this morning by looking in verse 18, where Jesus point blank says to his disciples in verse 18, and look in your Bibles, please, if the world hates you, men, remember he's in this context, he's talking to his disciples. So disciples, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Do you see that verse, verse 18? Let's read it together one time, please, all together. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Jesus knew that the world would hate his disciples. He knew that the world hated him. He was headed out to the Garden of Gethsemane. There he would be taken captive by a mob, soldiers. He would be mocked, he would be spit upon, he would be scourged, he would be led to Calvary, and the mobs and the crowd would be crying, away with him, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. What shall I do with your king, Jesus? Crucify him. Crucify him. That was very close in his life. Just hours away. He knew the world hated him. And he knew that the world was going to hate his followers. And he begins to explain to his disciples in this passage of Scripture why the world was going to dislike them so much. We need to understand that here this morning. Why does the world dislike us who are followers of Jesus Christ so much? And if you're not really in tune with the attitude of the world toward the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, just let me say that it's not improving out there in the world. It's deteriorating. We're living in a land where followers of Jesus Christ are beginning to face things that we never thought would take place in the United States of America. So why does the world hate us as followers of the Lord Jesus? Well, look at what Jesus says first in verse 19. First he says, if you were of the, look at it now, stay in your Bibles, if you were of the what? The world would love his own. But because, now get this, ye are not of the what? World, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world what? Hateth you. So the first thing Jesus says to the disciples about the reason why the world is going to hate them is simply because, guys, you're different from the world. You are different from the world. You're not of this world. Jesus says, I've chosen you out of the world. Have you come to understand, as a child of God, that this world that we're living in is not home for us? This is not home. This is not home if you're a child of God. Hey, heaven is our home. I was reading about it this week in Revelation chapter 21, talking about the New Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, coming down upon the new heaven and the new earth, where God Himself shall descend and be with His people. And He will be their God. And we're going to live there for all of eternity with God. And there's not going to be any more tears, and not going to be any more sorrow, and there's not going to be any more death, and there's not going to be any more pain. There's not going to be any more sickness. There's not going to be any more sorrow. Hey, we won't be hated up there. Amen? We are the majority there. There's nothing of the world there. This world is not our home. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians, if you would please, in Philippians chapter 3, page 1260. Sometimes we just need to remind ourselves, when we're encountering some opposition from the world, when we're encountering some ridicule from the world, when we're encountering some hatred from the world, when maybe perhaps in the future we begin to encounter some persecution from the world, we just need to remind ourselves, this is not home. This is not home. In the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 3, notice in your Bibles, if you would please, page 1260 if you have one of our Bibles, and notice here in the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 20, the Bible says, for our conversation, now get this, our conversation is in where? Heaven. Our conversation is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the word conversation at the beginning of the verse is not being used in the sense that you and I normally think of conversation. I was over at Carlton and Donna's house yesterday just checking to see how things went for Donna's brother. Sat down in the living room, and we had some conversation. They talked, I talked, we talked with each other, we had some conversation. That's not how this word in this verse is being used. It says that our conversation, it's talking about our citizenship. Our citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. You see, that's what the word means. Our citizenship is where? In heaven. From which we're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not a citizen of this earth. I'm a citizen of heaven itself. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 2, if you would please. 1 Peter chapter 2, over to your right, page 1313. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, or chapter 2, if you would please. 1 Peter chapter 2, once we get over there, we want to look in verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. And as we look in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, look what the Bible says about us who are God's people. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, he says, dearly beloved, I beseech you. He says, I beseech you as, look at the word, what is it? Strangers. Say it out loud now. What are we? Strangers and what? Pilgrims. So what are we as we walk the face of the earth? Bible says we're what? Strangers. Bible says we're what? Pilgrims. That means that we're just traveling through. I'm just passing through. I'm just passing through. But this isn't home. This is just where I'm staying for a while. Some of you guys were over my house last Sunday. Had a good time, didn't we? Went out in the woods. Where's the guy that found the turtle? Where's he at? Oh, he went to children's church. All right. Man, we had a good time. We marched out through the woods and ate spaghetti and ice cream sandwiches. Had a good time, didn't we, guys? All right. Played a little football. Had a good time. These guys came over to my house. They said, man, this your house? Yeah. This where you live? Just temporarily. I'm just passing through. That's my house, but it's not my home. He said, what do you mean it's your house, but it's not your home? My home is where? In heaven. I'm just a stranger and a pilgrim. I'm just passing on to heaven. Hebrews chapter 11, look what it says there. In Hebrews chapter 11, we got something to look forward to. Mm-mm. Man, is it exciting. Book of Hebrews, to your left, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And look here, if you're a child of God, man, you've got something to look forward to that doesn't compare to anything you've got down on this earth. And in Hebrews chapter 11, notice page 1301, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10, look what the Bible says. Speaking about Abraham now, it says, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is who? God. See, that's what we're looking for. Home that has been made by God. Heaven. Heaven. Why does the world dislike the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because they are not of this world. Go back to John chapter 15. Hold your place there all morning long. And go back to John chapter 15. And let's pay attention to verse 19. If you have a pen or pencil, I want you to get it out. I want you to mark something in your Bible here this morning. Notice in verse 19. In verse 19 it says this, if you were of the world, he's speaking to his followers. He says, if you were of the world would love his what? His own. But look what it says. But because ye are not of the what? World, but I have chosen you what? Out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you. Now I want you to take your pen or pencil and I want you to underline in that verse, not the whole verse, but part of the verse. Page 1137. I want you to underline in verse 19 where it says, ye are not of the world. Do you see that? Talk to me. You see that? You're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the what? World. I want you to underline that expression in your Bibles. Underline that expression in your Bibles. Ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the what? World. Now let's read that all together. Ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Why does the world dislike the followers of Jesus Christ? Because we're not part of them. We're not part of them. We're not part of this world. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We're just passing through. All this is just temporary. And I'm glad that I'm just passing through, because the Bible tells me that all this temporary stuff one of these days is going to be dissolved with fervent heat. It's all going to go up in smoke. And I'm glad that the city I'm looking for is eternal. Eternal. Eternity with God. You know, when the Bible says that you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, that reminds me of Romans chapter 12. Does it remind you of Romans chapter 12? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this what? World. And why aren't we to be conformed to this world? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has chosen us out of it. Out of it. And that's one reason why the world's going to hate us. Let's go on. John chapter 15. Notice what Jesus says next in verse 20. He says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his what? Lord. If they have persecuted me, Jesus, they'll persecute you, my followers. If they've kept my saying, they will keep yours also. I often have to remind people when we go out on visitation and we have sometimes some visits that are less than desirable, not awful visits, but just some people that sometimes just disinterested and they just speak their mind. I'll just put it that way. That it isn't really we who they're rejecting, it's the one who we represent. And Jesus is telling his disciples, I want you to know, guys, the world's going to hate you because of your association with me. See, that's what he's saying in this verse. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his what? Lord. Now, you're associated with me. You're connected with me. That's why you're called a follower of who? Jesus Christ. And he says this, he says, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute who? You. Now, did they persecute our Savior? Certainly they did. And if they persecuted Him, the Bible says they're going to persecute us. Why is the world going to hate us? Because of our association with the Lord Jesus Christ. I often remind people out on visitation, it's not we who they are rejecting. It's who we represent. Jesus. Now, Jesus gave us ample warning. Look over in Matthew chapter 10. Hold your place in John's Gospel. We'll keep coming back there. But go with me to Matthew chapter 10. Over to your left, page 1009. 1009. Boy, you guys are doing a good job staying up and keeping up in the Bible. That's good. Damon, you got your Bible open? Got your Bible open there? Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, page 1009. It's good to see you guys doing that. In Matthew chapter 9, notice what the Bible says. In Matthew chapter 9, or Matthew chapter 10, excuse me, Matthew chapter 10, I want you to notice something Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, page 1009, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said to his disciples this. in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, he says, "Behold, I send you forth as," look at this now, "I send you forth as" what? "Sheep in the midst of" what? "Wolves." Whoa! "I send you forth as" what? "Sheep in the midst of" what? If I am a sheep, I sure don't want to be in the midst of a bunch of wolves. Because what are wolves going to do to the sheep? Go after them, right? Right. That's right. But do you understand that that's exactly where we're at? We, as the followers of Jesus Christ, are His sheep. And the world, are the wolves. We are sheep in the midst of what? Wolves. What does He say to His disciples in the verse? He's saying, "I'm sending you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." Look what He goes on to say. He says, "Be therefore wise as" what? "Serpents, and harmless as" what? "Doves." Now He warns them. He says, "Now I'm sending you out in this world. This world is going to, they're going to hate you. They're going to hate you because of your association with Me. Just understand that if they hated Me, realize they're going to hate you. If they persecuted Me, realize they're going to persecute you." He says to His disciples in the very next verse, in verse 17, He says, "But beware of" who? "Men." "Watch out for the people of this world." Beware of men. They're not going to be your friends. What are they going to do? He says in verse 17, He says, "They're going to deliver you up to councils. They're going to scourge you in their synagogues. They're going to bring you before governors and kings for My sake and for a testimony against them and against the Gentiles. They're going to bring persecution against you." That's what Jesus is saying. And then you go down in verse 24 in the same chapter, and Jesus says, "Hey, the disciple is not above his" what? "Master." If they did it to the Master, it's not beneath you to have it done to you. Nor the servant above his Lord. Verse 25, "It is enough for the disciple that he be as his Master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the Master of the house," now get this, verse 25, "if they've called the Master of the house," look at this, "Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household?" You know what Jesus is doing in those two verses? He's saying the same thing He said back in John 15:20. "If they persecuted Me, they will also persecute you." Listen, they called Me Beelzebub. I mean, here is the Son of God, left heaven, come to this earth for the good of sinful man. And they looked at Him and says, "Hey, he has a devil." Beelzebub is another name for Satan. What a slap. What an insult to the person of Jesus Christ. Why is the world going to not like us? Because they didn't like our Savior. And who are we associated with? We're associated with Jesus Christ. Never be afraid to state your association. Never be afraid to speak up and let it be known that you're associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. Never be afraid or shy or timid. In your schools, school started this week. Don't be afraid in your school. When somebody's talking about God or somebody's talking about Jesus Christ, to stand up and say, "I believe in Jesus Christ." Don't be afraid of that. He said, "Man, if I do that, I'll get in trouble." No, you've got the right to do that. You've got the legal right to do that. There's such a thing as freedom of speech in this nation. It's a constitutional right. What is it? If the government will allow the perverts to speak up, they can't stop the Christians. They may hate us, but they hated Him before they hated us. Let's don't be ashamed of our association. Let's not be ashamed to stand up and speak up and let it be known exactly who we are. We belong to Jesus. Amen. Let's go back to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We move right along in the text this morning. We're just letting the Bible speak for itself. Just pointing out what Jesus says in this passage of Scripture. He's warning his disciples about the hatred of the world. He's explaining to them why they're going to hate them. They're going to hate you. They're going to dislike you because you're not of the world. They're going to dislike you because of your association with me. Then notice he goes on in verse 21. In verse 21 he says, "But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake." Now get this at the end of verse 21. "Because they know not him that" what? "Sent me." You know why they're going to dislike you? They're going to dislike you because of their own unbelief. Their own unbelief. They don't know the one who sent me. Well, if they don't know the one who sent them, you know what we call those people? Unsaved. Those are unsaved people. Those are people where we once were. We once were what? Unsaved. But Christ came along and he saved us. Amen? And so those people just don't know the Lord. They do not know God. They do not know God. It's interesting, if you study the theme of Christian persecution, because isn't this passage talking about persecution? They're going to hate you. Look at what they're going to do to you. They're going to persecute you. And it's interesting, if you study the theme of Christian persecution throughout the history of mankind, that over the centuries, the majority of persecution that has come to the followers of Jesus Christ has come from people who were religious, but they did not know God. See, that's what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying, they don't know. They don't know my Father. To know the Father, you must know the Son. Amen? Because the Son is the way to get to the Father. I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Behind all Christ-rejecting religions is Satan, who masquerades as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Take your Bibles. Let's learn some things here this morning about religion, false religion. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, page 1238. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You go back and study Christian persecution over the history of mankind. You'll see that what I'm saying today is exactly accurate. That the bulk of persecution that has come against Christianity over the years has been done by religious people who knew not God. And behind all Christ-rejecting religions is Satan. And he masquerades as an angel of light. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, or chapter 11, in verse 13, the Bible says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." In other words, they give the image that they're something that they are not. They're fakes. In verse 14 it says, "And no marvel, for," look at it now, "Satan himself is running around with a red union suit on. He's got some horns and he's got a pitchfork. So if he's coming your way, Brother Bob, whoo! If he's coming your way, you say, there's the old devil." That's not how the devil works. If you think that's how the devil works, you've been looking at too many potted meat cans. I think it's Underwoods, isn't it? Something like that. The Bible says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of" what? You see, he gives the image that he's of God, when in reality he's what? He's not. Religion. Religion has persecuted Christianity to the hilt. It's Satan inspired. He is the father of lies. He is the deceiver, a deceiver. The Bible says he was a deceiver from the beginning. You can't trust a word the devil tells you, but you can trust everything that God says. Go back to John chapter 8 quickly, please. John chapter 8. And in John chapter 8, look with me in verse 44. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, the Bible says this, in John chapter 8 and verse 44, The Bible says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Now look at what it says about the devil. He was a what? Murderer from the what? Beginning. He abode not in the what? Truth. Why? Because there's no what? Truth in him. When he speaketh a what? Lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Do you understand here this morning that the world's first religion was founded by a man by the name of Cain, all the way back in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 4? Do you realize that? The first religion occurred all the way back in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 4. Let's take our Bibles and let's turn there in Genesis chapter 4. You see, Cain believed that God ought to be willing to accept him on his terms rather than God's terms. You can't come to God on your terms. You've got to come to God on his terms. And God's terms of coming to God is that you come through my Son and my Son alone. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Here was a man by the name of Cain, and he says, God, I'm going to come on my terms, not your terms. So he comes before God, bringing an offering to God. He brings the fruit of his own labors, the fruit of his own good deeds, the fruit of his own self-work efforts, the fruits of his own good works. By the way, that's a Satan-inspired sacrifice, because God will never accept us on the basis of our good deeds, our self-effort, or our good works. Look what it says. Genesis chapter 4, in verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. He brought of the fruit of the what? Ground. The works of his own labor. What he had produced with his own hands. And the Bible says, then verse 5, unto Cain and to his offering, he, God, had not what? Respect. It was a Satan-inspired sacrifice. Why? There's no blood. There's no cross. There's no lamb. There's no Christ. There's no truth in what Cain did. He soon discovered that his brand of religion was rejected by God, whereby his brother Abel's was acceptable. Notice what it tells us here. In verse 4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings, of the flock, and of the fat. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his what? Offering. Why? Because he brought an offering that reflected the person of Jesus Christ. It was just a picture of the coming Lamb of God who would come to take away the sins of the world. It's a picture of the cross of Jesus Christ. It is through the shedding of blood that we have the forgiveness or remission of our sins. And yet we realize and recognize that Cain brought the fruits. He brought the labors of his own hands, the works of his own field, if you would please. No blood, no cross, no lamb, no Christ, no truth. The Bible says the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. Do you see that in verse 4? The Lord had what? Unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, he had not what? My friend, if you try to get to heaven on your own by what you do through your works and your good deeds and your self-efforts, you will die lost in your sins. That is not an acceptable sacrifice. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to God's mercy, he saved us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believes on him, Christ, who justifies the ungodly, your faith in Christ is what's counted for righteousness, because Christ alone is the acceptable sacrifice. Christ alone shed his blood in payment for our sin. Christ alone made the blood atonement whereby we can be forgiven and have a home in heaven. Christ alone is the truth, the way by which we come to God. The Bible says, for by grace you're saved through faith. Faith in Christ. Not faith in what you do. I'm going to bring the works, the labors of my hand. I'll never be accepted by God. But if I can come to Jesus Christ who died on the cross and put my faith in Him, by grace I'm saved through what? Faith. Salvation is not of your what? Selves. It is the what? Gift of God. It is not of what? Works, lest any man should what? Boast. Self-effort religion is Satan-inspired. And God says to Cain, I've got no respect to your offering. And my friend, if you stand before God pleading what you have done, rather than resting in Jesus Christ and what He did for your salvation, He will have no respect. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. Hold your finger here. Let me show you a verse in case you've never seen this before, maybe never heard this before. Maybe you're hearing this for the very first time in your life. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. I quoted it, but let's go and look at it. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, if you would please. I know what it is to be blinded by religion. I know what it is to think that your good deeds and your self-effort and your good works are what's going to get you to heaven. That's where I was for a number of years in my life, age 1,251. I thought as long as I lived a good life, as long as I went to church, as long as I got baptized, I'd be okay. I'd be acceptable to God. I was a Cain. And if I died and stood before God in that condition, God would have had absolutely no respect. You say, but you were sincere in your belief. God's not looking for sincerity. God's looking for truth. You say, but you were religious. Yes, I was religious, but God is not looking for religion. He's looking for faith in His Son. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, for by grace you're saved through what? Do you see it? God says, by His grace, by His kindness towards you. And the greatest act of kindness that God displayed for you is letting His Son die on a cross in your place. You see, you've sinned against God. I've sinned against God. We deserve death. We deserve to die and be eternally separated from God. But God's own dear Son took that punishment and died in our place, paid it in full, and now in His kindness wants to save us, forgive us, and give us a home up in heaven. And the Bible says, by grace you're saved through what? Faith. Put your faith in Jesus. Look what it goes on to say. That not of yourself. Salvation's not by what we do. It is the gift of what? God. Not of what? Lest any man should boast. My friend, if you're this morning, you've never put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ to be your way to heaven. Don't turn to religion. Turn to Christ. Don't put your faith in what you're doing. Put your faith in the One who died for you, was buried, and rose again the third day, proving to you that He's got the power to bring you eternal life. And if you think you've got the power to bring yourself eternal life, my friend, you better die and rise again from the dead. The truth matters, you say, I can't do that. That's right. And I'm trying to tell you, you can't get there by your own religion. Religion is Satan-inspired. Goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. Now let's look at what happens here. God says back in the book of Genesis, have you abandoned your religious good efforts and self-efforts in favor of trusting Christ and His finished work on the cross of Calvary? He is totally sufficient to save you, and He alone. He's the only one that can. Trust Him. Genesis chapter 4, verse 5, once again. To Cain, his offering, he had not respect. Now look what happened in Cain's life. Verse 5, and Cain was very wroth. You know what the word wroth means? Angry. Angry. He got really upset with God. He got really mad at his brother Abel. And the Bible says his countenance fell. To the extent that in verse 8, look down at verse 8, that one day Cain was talking with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, they're out in the field. Cain rises up against Abel, his brother, And notice it says, and what does he do? He slew him. He slew him. He rises up and he kills his brother. False religion is now bathed in the blood of a true believer. And it's been going on that way for 6,000 years of human history. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, know that they're going to persecute you. And all I'm saying here this morning is that the persecution that has occurred to the Christian followers, the followers of Jesus Christ, primarily has come from people who were religious, but they knew not God. And Jesus was saying back in John chapter 15, why are they going to hate you? Because they don't know my Father. They just don't know the truth. They know religion, but they don't know the truth. Let's go back to John 15. Moving on, if you would please. In John chapter 15 and verse 22, Jesus says, another reason why they're going to hate you. Another reason why they're going to dislike you. Look in verse 22. John chapter 15 and verse 22. Notice what it has to say here. In John chapter 15 and verse 22, it says, if I had not come and spoken to you, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their what? For their sin. So Jesus is saying, here's another reason why the world's going to hate you. The world's going to hate you because of the conviction that I have brought to the world. Because of the conviction I have brought to the world. Don't forget, Jesus came into this world as a light. I am the light of the what? World. And this world was living in darkness. It was living in sin. And all of a sudden, the light's here. You know, when you're living in darkness, when you're living in sin, and everything around you is just darkness, you can just be comfortable living the way you're living. Right? You can just go on doing wrong because there's no light to convict you. There's no light to bother your conscience. You follow me? But if you're living in sin, you're living in darkness, and all of a sudden, a light pops on. Now there's exposure to your heart. Now you experience conviction of life. Do you not? And when Jesus came into this world, it was dark. And the world was so dark, they're just living in sin. Thought nothing of it because all they knew was what? Darkness, but now all of a sudden there's light and now they're convicted by the things that they were doing. And they didn't like it. They didn't like it. It's sort of guys like this, you know, you're home and you're doing something wrong and you know you're doing something wrong and you're in your room, you got the light shut off and you're doing something wrong because you don't want dad or mom to know. And all of a sudden, you know, the door opens and the light comes on. And you're right in the midst of it. And it's dad standing at the door. Or it's mom standing at the door. And you say, oh. Their very presence brings you what? Conviction. Because you were doing what? Doing wrong. Do you like their presence at that point in time? Oh, Dad, it's so wonderful to see you. You don't say that, do you? What are you doing here? Or you just stand there silent. And Jesus said, I came as a light into this world. And when I came as a light in the world, it brought conviction. And the world didn't like it. Remember what he said back in John chapter 3 and verse 19? Look over there real quickly. John chapter 3 and verse 19. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 19, he says, and this is the condemnation that light has come into the world, and men loved, they loved what? Darkness rather than what? Light, because their deeds were what? Evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the what? So if Jesus is here as the light, and the world is in darkness, doing evil, loving evil, and all of a sudden the light has come on, what are they going to do to Jesus? They're going to hate him. They did hate him. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Now listen to me, dear people. The Lord Jesus Christ has put us into this world. to be a shining light for him. And if you are a shining light for Jesus Christ, your presence is going to bring conviction to those who are in darkness. And they're not going to say, "Hey, I'm glad you're here." They're going to have the same attitude towards you that they had toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet the Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." The book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 2, it says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. If the world hated the Lord Jesus Christ's light, you can be assured it will hate your light. But that's no reason to not let it shine. We're to let our light shine. We're to let our light shine brightly. The darker the night, the brighter the light. We're living in a dark night in America today. If Christians would stand up and stop being ashamed of their light for the Lord Jesus Christ, our light would beam brightly. You say, "But they would hate us." But they would be revealed to the truth. And by the way, that's the only hope for this nation. The only hope for this nation is that they come back to the truth. Come back to the truth. And if we Christians don't stand up and let our light shine, that will never happen. That will never happen. And I'm not here today to say it can't happen. I believe it can. If God's people would just stand up and be unashamed and let our light shine. Then going back to John chapter 15, let's go on. Let's see what else Jesus says in this passage of Scripture. We come into verses 23 and 24. Jesus is just explaining to his disciples what's going to happen to them. And he says in verses 23 and 24, he says, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also." You can't be a friend of God, the Father, without being a friend of God, the Son. It doesn't happen. Verse 24, he says, "If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my what? Father." You know the last reason in this passage of Scripture Jesus gives them of why the world is going to hate them? Because the testimony of His works were so undeniable. The testimony of His works were so undeniable. Do you see that in verse 24? "If I had not done among them the what? The works which none other man did." I've done what no one has done. That's what Jesus is saying. And now, they have no excuse. Let me ask you here this morning, who's ever walked on water other than Jesus? Who immediately calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee? Jesus. Who was able to take water and turn it into wine? Jesus. Who took 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish and fed 5,000 people? Jesus. 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 Who cleansed the leper? Jesus. Who gave sight to the blind? Jesus. Who took a man that was rotting in the grave? "Lord, just don't take that stone away. By this time, he stinketh. His body's already begun to decay. Lazarus, come forth." Remember, he's all wrapped up. Did he come forth? Who could do it? Jesus. "The works that I did, that no other man has ever done." The Bible says in little bit later in John's Gospel, we'll not turn there for lack of time, but a little bit later in John's Gospel, it says that all the works that Jesus did when he was on the face of the earth weren't even recorded. And if they were, the Bible says that even the books of the world could not contain them. Who was crucified for the sins of mankind? Not Buddha or Mohammed. Who was placed in a borrowed rich man's tomb and 3 days later came back to life on his own power? Jesus. Do you see what Jesus is saying there? Verse 24, he says, if I had not done among them the works which none of the men did, they had not had what? Sin. They wouldn't even be aware of their sin. But listen, I came and did things that are undeniable. This is the most unique person who's ever walked the face of the earth. He says he's the Son of God. He's got to be the Son of God. Look at what he's done. He says he's going to a cross to be the Savior of mankind, of those who will come to put their faith in him, not come to him on the basis of their works. I think I better believe his testimony. I think I better trust him. But what did they do? They hated him. They hated him and the Father. The world stands guilty of the greatest crime in the annals of time and eternity. The crime of turning their back on the incarnate Son of God, of nailing him to a cross, and endorsing that crime generation after generation after generation after generation after generation. You say, how can they do it? Because they ignore God's word and they reject Jesus Christ as Savior. The world stands before God in all of its sin. It hates the Father. It hates the Son. And Jesus is saying, and if you're going to be my follower, it's going to hate you. It's going to hate you. Yet Jesus' work show us the reality and truthfulness of the Christian faith. No one on this earth, and I mean that quite literally, no one on this earth has a legitimate excuse for rejecting Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Nobody. 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 Jesus' testimony was undeniable. Now, when we come down to verse 25, and we end with this morning, when we come down to verse 25, the Bible says, but this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a what? Cause. You know, the psalmist had foretold the world's hatred toward the Lord Jesus, had been foretold in Psalm 35 and verse 19, and also Psalm 69 and verse 4. It said that they would hate the Lord Jesus Christ without a cause. That means without a just reason. Why in the world would you hate the man who's done the most good? You have no sensible reason. It's only the unbelief of your own heart. The blindness of sin in your life. Listening to the religion of the devil rather than the truth of God. Thus the world's response of hatred should be no surprise. The opposite of hate is what? Talk to me. The opposite of hate is what? Is love. Jesus began this whole discussion by commanding his disciples to love one another. Look in verse 17. In verse 17, Jesus says, these things I command you that you what? Love one another. He'd also said that in verse 12. He says, this is my commandment. Look at it now, verse 12. That you what? Love one another. Just before he begins to talk about the world's hatred toward his followers, he commands them, fellas, love one another. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. Why is it so important that God's people learn to love one another rather than squabble with one another? Because we're facing the hatred of the world. We don't need the hatred of each other. We need each other to join hands and stand strong and be firm and march forward for Jesus Christ and shine as lights in this world as we have never shined before. Never shined before. Because we are living in a world opposed to Jesus Christ. Don't be discouraged by the hatred of the world. Don't retreat when the world frowns upon you. Stand strong for Jesus Christ. Stand strong for Jesus Christ. If we'll let our light shine and let it shine brightly, God can use us in this world. Someone cared enough to bring the truth to you. Are you going to care enough to bring it to somebody else? Think about it. Think about it. Let's pray.